started. If you can make your way to your seats, please. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 12. If you don't know where 1 Chronicles is, it's in the Old Testament. We're going to be all over the Bible today, but I want to start there at 1 Chronicles chapter 12. We're starting a new series of sermon today called Signs. And I put a couple different taglines to this. One is, are you ready for what is to come? And then learning to be prepared, not scared. The biggest problem with us today, is that me? You want me to bring it up?
That really was a zipper. No, if I could make that work that way, I would take credit for that. Let me tell you, I'm a guy. Come on, we take credit for those types of things. We don't shy away from those things. Better out than in. Who just said that? Someone just. You're right, Killian. It is better out than in. You're right. Oh, that's so funny. Yeah. So here's the whole purpose, is that, you know, it doesn't take long to look around and see that the Bible is being fulfilled before our very eyes. Do you know that wherever you look, I mean, literally, we're going to be spending at least 6 weeks, probably longer, on this very topic, because there's so many things that are being fulfilled today that is amazing. I mean, just simply what Jay said. Iran attacked Israel this week, yesterday. Yeah, last night, hundreds of missiles being shot at Israel. Scripture tells us that, guess what? It's not going to end. In fact, all of Israel is going to be surrounded at some point, but rest assured, God is going to rescue the country Israel from them. There are many other signs and wonders that are going on all around us today, and it doesn't take very long to see those things. But I love this verse, and I want to start here with this verse, chapter 12, verse 32. Now, we're not going to read the whole entire chapter, but I want to give you a little bit of a precursor, if you will, what's going on here. David is speaking about his mighty men. David is speaking about the men who have joined his army or with him, and they're doing all of these wonderful things, and they're conquering the world around him, and David is going off and he's naming all of these people. But yet he gets to this group of men, and he says something amazing. And let's read it. 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. Of Issachar, men who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do, 200 chiefs and all their kinsmen under their command. Now, I want to just pause there for a moment, because I want you to understand, David had men who could fight. He had many men who were strong and who could overcome and who could take on legions of armies and still win. Being someone who was strong and could fight was not as important to David as what the sons of Issachar were. Now, this is not to be confused in the New Testament with the sons of Sceva. These are two different sons. If you know your biblical scripture, you'll know that the sons of Sceva were actually... Sceva is a good word for them. They were trying to make money under God's name. But the sons of Issachar were a little bit different. See, these sons of Issachar not only could read the times and know the times that they were in, but they knew what they ought to do as well. And see, this is very important for us, because when we look at today and we look at these signs over the next 6 weeks, over the next few weeks in this series sermon, as we're doing this, we're going to be looking at these signs. But it's not just simply knowing the signs of what you're reading. You have to know what to do with those signs. Because if you don't know what to do with the signs that are coming, then what are you going to do? As Jay said, many people might hole up, right? I've heard, it doesn't take very much of a Google search to find preppers, right? And listen, I will tell you that I'm not against canning food and having food and all of these things available to you in case something happens. I'm totally not against that. But I'm also not a prepper that I'm going to like take myself and I'm going to hold myself up and I'm going to put a fence around my yard and say, come on, try to enter into my house. That's not the right way to act. There's a time coming in this world where the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back again. And when he comes back, he has promised to us that he's going to give us signs. But our goal, what we should be doing, is we should be men and ladies who understand the times that we are in. We should be men and ladies that know what we ought to do during these times. We ought to be like the sons of Issachar. It's very clear that we are called to not be led astray. In the Bible, we're going to be reading mainly out of Matthew 24, Jesus' own words about the end times. But we're going to be jumping, as I said, all around many different places. But today, specifically, what I want to talk to you about is, I want to talk to you about not being led astray. Listen, the Lord is coming back, and oh, can I not wait for that day to happen. I'm so ready for the Lord to come back. But we all know that that day may not be today, may not be tomorrow. Jay was rightly in saying there are so many people today that are putting dates on things. I want to tell you, listen, we are closer today to the coming back of the Lord than it ever has been before. Now, before you say, oh yeah, amen to that, that's right. No, we are closer because guess what? Every day is closer. So guess what? Tomorrow, we're going to be closer to the day the Lord returns. Next week, we're going to be closer to the day that the Lord returns. May the Lord tarry. Every day that he tarries, we will be a day closer to his return. That's how time works. However, having said that, there are many signs that tell us that his coming is soon. And that's why we need to look at these signs. We need to understand what these signs are. But what I want to do is, I don't want to talk about these signs and then get scared. I don't want to talk about these signs and then go dig my hole in the sand, bury my head, and just let my backside be sticking up. That's not the right way to do it either. I don't want to read these signs and get so afraid that I somehow go to the mountains and find a cave and I live in a cave the rest of my life. That's not what we're supposed to do either. In fact, we are called to understand, as the sons of Issachar were, we are called to understand the times and what to do. Part of that is understanding who you are listening to. Today, if you do a Google search, you do a TikTok search, a YouTube search, whatever you want to call that, and you go out there and you look at social media today, you can find countless number of people who are claiming that the end of the world is coming. Whether it's May 20 or April 23rd, I've heard that one too. I also heard, by the way, that the eclipse were supposed to be the end of the world, and that this darkness was going to come over the earth and all of this other stuff, and that you should hold yourself up in your house and not leave for 3 days. The truth of the matter is that none of us know the day or the time that Jesus is coming back. None of us know when it's going to be. May we instead be like the men of Issachar, who not only saw the signs of the day, but knew what to do. So today, what I want to challenge you with is to not be afraid. To recognize the signs that we're in, be prepared, but be like the sons of Issachar and know what to do when we see the signs that are coming around us. That's what the sons of Issachar did. That's what we need to do as well. Jesus even tells us not only where we see signs, but to interpret the signs. Over the coming weeks, we're going to do a deep dive into the sign of the times, but I pray, better yet, I beg of you not to bury your head, not to stop sharing the gospel with the people around you, not quitting your job, not going and buying and taking all of the money that you have and saying, it doesn't matter, so I might as well cash it all out and go buy me a mountainside in Tennessee. That sounds pretty, right? If you want to do that, I'll come visit you. But there's much more that needs to be done in this time, in this earth, right here, right now. Let's pray and we'll jump in to Matthew 24. Father, we thank you so much for who you are. We thank you for all that you have done and all that you are doing in our life. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the signs that you have promised to us that will be coming to show that you're coming again, Father. First of all, we just want to say thank you, Lord, for dying on the cross for us, but thank you for promising to come again. And thank you, Lord, as I said last week, for tarrying and delaying your coming so that many people could come to know you, Father. Lord Jesus, we owe so much to you, a debt of gratitude, a debt of everything that we have, and we don't have anything that's fit for a king except my hallelujahs and my gratitude towards you. And so, Lord Jesus, we give that to you today, and we ask you that you would open our eyes. Holy Spirit, we need you more than ever today to not only see the signs, but to know how to respond to the times that we are in. And so we pray that you would come and that you would remove any hindrances from our lives. We pray that you'd break the chains that held us down to this earth and that you set us free, Father. Lord Jesus, help us in this day. Holy Spirit, empower us to do your will in this place. I pray, Lord, that today you'd give me the words to speak. That you'd give me the things that I need to say that would honor you. That my words would not be my own, but they would truly be your words, Father. And that we could live a life not scared, but prepared for what is to come, understanding the times that we live in. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew 24, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to that. Matthew 24, we're going to be in verse 3, starting in verse 3. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. This is one of the main passages that we often use to talk about what is going to be happening. Now, we're going to be breaking this down over the next few weeks, and so we're not going to break down this whole entire thing, but I want to read a little bit of this, and then we'll begin to talk a little bit more about this verse. And he says, Matthew chapter 24, verse 3, Jesus says, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Now, I want to pause there for a moment because you know that every single disciple that followed Jesus thought Jesus was returning during their lifetime. 2,000 some odd years later, we're saying the same thing. And thank God he did take his time. Thank God that he did, because again, just think about the number of people that have been saved. If Jesus would have came back in 1988, as the book said, the second coming of the Lord in 1988, I wouldn't have been here. 1989, they rewrote the book. Again, so many people, the Lord's tarrying to say this, but the disciples knew and understood that Jesus is talking about him coming back, but they're asking him, tell us when these things will be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age. The disciples know. See, this is something that's very interesting that we don't take into consideration today as much as they did back then, is that there are signs. Jesus gives us signs. Oftentimes in our life today, you know what we call them? We call them coincidences. Or circumstances, or any of those types of things. You know what? That's a bunch of hogwash, as I like to call it. There are no circumstances, there are no coincidences in life. They're all arranged by God himself. And so when you experience something in your life and you're like, is that a coincidence? No, it's not. It's God giving you a sign that you should be aware of. Verse 4 says, and Jesus answered them, see that no one leads you astray. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and they will lead many astray. Jesus starts out with this very comment. We're going to stop there, and there's many things else that we'll be getting to over the coming weeks. But in this particular one, we need to stop and understand that Jesus is the very first warning that Jesus gives to his disciples is that many will come and try to lead you astray. Now, I struggled a little bit because I was first going to start this series of sermon with something else, but then the Lord corrected me and said, nope, this is exactly where I want you to start. Why? Because if you look today, what happens today? I could literally post a video. I could record myself on the video saying, the Lord is coming back tomorrow. Oh my goodness. Post it on YouTube, post it on TikTok, wherever else, and thousands, millions of people could get access to that in seconds. The power that the internet, the power that social media, the power that we have in technology today gives power to false prophets today and false teachers. Today the message is no longer... See, many years ago when Jesus was first giving this message to the disciples, there was no internet, there was no telephone, there was no other... The only way that you would hear is if I came and visited you and shared from my mouth to your mouth. And so those false prophets, those false teachers, if you will, when they spoke something, what would happen? It would be slow to get out because there was no way for that message to propagate, if you will, throughout the world. Today, that's way different. Today, any, and I say this kindly, nut can record a video and put it out on the video, or put it out on the interwebs, as one of my, the Big Bang Theory used to say, the interwebs, right? But they put it out there and they get it spread out all around. And it's quickly spread to places that you would never be able to go. Today, just and by the way, we're going to talk about this again in a few weeks, but today the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ can be spread as quickly to places that has never been spread before because of what happened on the internet. But that also leads to this place that says that there are false prophets that are coming here. And Jesus says, see that no one leads you astray. Well, okay, Jesus, I'm not going to be led astray. Now, I've heard many people, in fact, I had a co-worker, a friend of mine that I worked with at Little Tykes many years ago. She sent me a text on Sunday afternoon and said, I'm so nervous about tomorrow's eclipse. And I said, why? And she goes, because I've heard so many things that are going to be happening. What should I do? And I said, you should walk outside, you should sit down, you should look up in the sky and marvel at the greatness of who God is. And give thanks to him for what he's done. And giving you the opportunity to see, because we won't have another opportunity to see that again. Many of us, unless you travel. It won't happen here again for any of us that are in this room, but in this particular area. But you can travel to see it if you'd like. But when she said that, she goes, you mean Jesus isn't coming back tomorrow? I said, no. So can I be 100% guaranteed? No, because no one knows the hour or the time. But I can tell you that I'm not worried about Jesus coming back tomorrow, because there's a lot of things that still have to happen before Jesus can come back, according to what his scripture says. See, the problem of it is that too many people are believing and hearing only what they see and not picking up this word and reading it for themselves. God tells us to be like the sons of Issachar and to understand the times and to know what to do. And so if Jesus tells us to be careful about false teachers and false prophets, what are we supposed to do? Well, we should be preparing ourselves for that. The very first sign, and it's by no mistake that Jesus says in Matthew 24, is that there are going to be false prophets. 11 times, the Greek word for false prophets shows up 11 times in the New Testament. It has no corresponding word in the Old Testament. Do you understand that? There's no corresponding false prophet word in the Old Testament. It's only in the New Testament do we find that there's going to be false prophets. The New Testament in many locations warns of people coming to be in the name of Jesus, even if not even Jesus himself. Think about it for a moment. How many years ago did we have to deal with Jim Jones, right? How many people actually believed and literally drank the Kool-Aid of Jim Jones? I jokingly say that, but it's true, right? How many people believed that David Koresh was Jesus reincarnated? And he decided to get into a gunfight with the Texas Rangers and the government. That didn't work out so well. How many people over and over and over again we see that the number of false prophets are increasing dramatically in the world that we live in today? Again, partly because communication is so easily done. You can communicate a message. If you are a good speaker, if you understand how to use technology, then you can make something feel very believable, put a little music behind it, and send it out, and hundreds, if not thousands of people will believe it. I jokingly said about, or mentioned the lady who said that the 3 days of darkness is coming. And Bonnie, I was turned on by that, by you. But I've been following her just to see what happens, because their 3 days of darkness did not happen. She has now decided to change her message and say, not only are 3 days of darkness still coming, but now they're coming on April 23rd, or they're going to come in the middle of Passover, at the end of Passover that happens coming up in the next few weeks. See, the truth of the matter is that if you're, again, believable, and you can put a good presentation forward, many people will believe you. Because here's the problem. It's not the speaker that is at fault. Is the speaker doing something that they should not do? Yes. Are they being a false prophet? Yes. But you know where the main fault of this falls? To the millions of people, I was going to say minions, but people who listen and believe that these quacks and what they're saying is going to happen. There's only one place that I know that I read when someone says the end of the world is coming, and it's right here. I don't need someone telling me that it's coming April 23rd. I don't need someone telling me that it's coming in May. I don't need someone telling me that it's coming at the end of September. I don't need any of that, because you know what? I can read scripture for myself and decipher. And, oh, by the way, if you have the Holy Spirit with you, you think the Holy Spirit's not going to give you a heads up that this stuff is going on? That is why also I feel very, I've had this conversation with Miss Tanya over and over again, that we should be prepared. Do I believe that something is going to happen? Yes, I believe that we are entering into a very uneasy time of our world, and it would be very easy for someone to take out a lot of infrastructure in our world today that would cause us and our life to be stopped completely, very quickly. And should we be prepared for that? Yes, we should be prepared for that. Am I scared about that? No, I'm not. We must understand the times that we live in, and we must also know what to do. If you look hard enough, you're going to find a false prophet close to you. You're going to find a friend. You're going to find someone on Facebook. You're going to find someone that, or one of your friends, or someone that you're close with in your family is going to listen to a false prophet. It doesn't take long for us to understand that. That is why Jesus tells us that many are going to be dismayed and led astray. And so there's a few issues that we have with false prophets that we need to talk about. Here are the main issues with a false prophet. Number one is that they often come from a Christian background, so they understand how to use scripture. They read scripture themselves. And so a false prophet often will come to you and they will say, this is what's going on, and they will use scripture to try to back up their story. And they sometimes even will use the Lord's name. And so we have to understand that. But they also, at the same time, is they deny the biblical Lord Jesus in some way. Somehow, some way, some shape, some form, they will deny Jesus. Whether that is, again, if you sit here and tell me that April 23rd is the day and I know the day, I'm going to look at you and say, you're nuts. You don't know what you're talking about. Because Jesus, in his own word, says, I don't even know. How can you know if Jesus doesn't know? There is no way for you to know. There's many people who use numerology and the whole biblical numerology, which is a very interesting kind of thing if you ever want to spend some time looking at that. But people are actually trying to number out the days, and they look at the book of Daniel, and they look at the book of Revelations, and they put the numbers together, and they say, this is the date. Somehow, some way, some shape, some form, they will deny the biblical Lord Jesus. And we have to be very, very careful of that. They will become very popular, especially with emotionally motivated people today. Just because you have a lot of people following you doesn't mean that you're also speaking the truth. Do you know that Satan is going to be a very popular person when he comes back on this earth? And he will have many people following him. He will be popular. The Antichrist that we see in Revelations often is listed to be a very popular person. They will degrade doctrines of Bible. What that means is that they will take the theology, if you will, of the Bible, and they will make it say what they want it to say to fit what they think is important to them. Now, it doesn't take very long today, but if you look around, even in churches today, you find many people that are taking biblical scripture and they're denying the very existence of what it's saying because they want it to fit their narrative. That is what a false teacher does. A false teacher takes a biblical narrative, reads it, interprets it to make themselves feel good and make their believers feel good, and so they then interpret the scripture completely false. They will stimulate greed to attract followers. Jay does the very, I laugh because Jay, when I was writing this, I remembered the words that you had one time said, if you just send me little Billy's college fund, right? I will pray for you and you will be forgiven. Just send me the college fund. It'll be okay. I'll pray for you and everything will be forgiven. Sorry, but I saved up a lot of time for little Billy's college fund. You're not getting it. I will tithe. I will give what the Lord is due. Don't get me wrong. If the Lord tells me to do it, then that's a different story. But listen, just because they stimulate greed and they tell you and they begin to attract followers does not make them a good teacher. We have to be, listen, I want you to understand that Jesus says, not only does he say not to be led astray, but over and over and over again, he calls his people to be awake. Don't be led astray. Come on, we're smarter people than this. We are. God has given you intelligence. God has given you wisdom. God has given you the brains to understand who is false and who is not. So use it. Use that God-given gift that he has given to you to do what he has called you to do, and that is to read scripture for yourself. There's a few things that we can do to identify a false teacher or prophet. Number one is to judge them by their fruit. Many of these false prophets will try to say the world is ending, or this is going to happen, or that's going to happen, but then it often doesn't. What's the fruit? I laugh because getting back to that lady, where's her fruit? There is no fruit. What she said, listen, if I prophetically stand up and I say this is going to happen on this date and it doesn't happen, then you need to have a serious conversation with me. You do. Because the fruit, Jesus tells us that we will be known by the fruit that we produce. So what is the fruit that you're producing? If you're producing crap, then you're not really on the right vine. I just did say crap from the pulpit. Yeah. But listen, if you're producing rotten, smelly, stinky food, is that better, Pastor Jess? If you're producing all of that fruit, instead of something that's beautiful and something that's worthwhile and that's going to make you feel good and it's going to nourish your body, then what is it? What good is it? Why do we follow? Why do people do that? Follow someone who makes you, who produces bad fruit. You should judge people by their fruit. Can they be judged by their fruit? Any preacher you listen to should be also judged in the same way. I welcome you to judge me by my fruit and hold me accountable to that. If I'm not producing the right fruit, then hold my feet to the fire and let me know. I welcome that and I want that. Because you know what? I don't want to be led astray. I also don't want to be a false teacher. And so when I tell you that you should judge people by their fruit, that not only includes people that you're watching on YouTube and you're watching televangelists and all of those things, that includes me. That includes him. That includes Corey or anyone else that stands up here from this pulpit. Judge us by our fruit. If our fruit is not good and we're not producing the right fruit, then you should have the conversation with me. And I would welcome that conversation. Because that's what God tells us to be. Any other person who doesn't want to be judged by their fruit either isn't producing fruit or is a false teacher. Number two, the second one is that they draw people to themselves and not Jesus. The simple fact is that anybody that calls themselves a follower of Jesus should be pointing people to Jesus, not themselves. Listen, I don't care if I'm ever successful. What I care about is that you have a relationship and a life with Jesus Christ. Listen, I'm not going to name names, but there are many televangelist preachers out there today that are not pointing to Jesus. They're pointing to themselves because they want to sell a book. They want to do this. They want to live their best life. They want to do all of these things, and they want to have all of these things, and they're not pointing to Jesus. They're pointing to themselves. That's a problem. Because any preacher, any teacher, any prophet that stands up to say something in the name of the Lord should be pointing to him and not anyone else. It's not about us, it's about him. Everything that we do is about him. It is why I tell you often, don't take my word for it. When I read these scriptures, I don't tell you to just take my word for it. Go home, wrestle with it, read it, open it up, understand what these words of God, because this has to be the living word of God in you, not just through my mouth. This isn't CPR. This is, you can have it yourself. You can take a hold of this word. You can digest this word. You can understand it. And it can fulfill you as it fulfills all the rest of us as well. I get often nervous when I meet someone and they come up to me and say, my name is Bishop so-and-so. My name is Apostle so-and-so. The new one that I heard the other day, which I just kind of chuckled, is my name is Papa so-and-so. And I just went, you're not my papa. You're not my bishop. You're not my apostle. Now listen, I have nothing against bishops, and I have nothing against the office of apostleship, which we haven't really taught much about at all. I have nothing wrong with that. But if you have to call yourself that, there's a problem. I don't need someone to call me something. I want to be called Jason. I want to be called, first and foremost, I want to be called a follower of Jesus Christ. After that, I don't care what you call me. Other than late for dinner. I don't need you call me anything but a sinner who found Jesus Christ. Because that's who I am. My success is nothing without him. And I could care less if I ever become popular. I don't care. I could care less whether I ever become popular or not. What I want is Jesus to be popular. That's what matters most. False prophets will draw attention to themselves. They will draw attention to them. They will not point to Jesus. They will not point to the scripture. They will point to themselves and see, look how great I am. Look what I've done. Look at all these things. Over and over and over again. And here's the problem. There has been many people who started down this road in a really good way and then went south very, very quickly. Because a little popularity came in, they got a little notoriety, and then all of a sudden they wanted to become the most important thing. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 through 10 says, the coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan with all power and false signs and wonders, and with all wicked deception for those who are perishing because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. See, the other thing that we have to look at is that sometimes the false prophets will do signs and miracles. This is a really hard one to grasp a hold of. But the false prophets, people who don't come in Jesus, who lead people astray, will also have the ability to do powers, miracles, and signs, and those types of things. Why? Because Satan himself empowers them to do those things. Satan himself gives them, listen, it's not any different than when Aaron and Moses went before the Pharaoh. What did they do? God tells them, lay down your staff and watch it turn into a snake. And what did the Pharaoh just kind of laughed and said, oh, my magicians can do the same thing. And they threw down something and a snake comes up. Over and over and over again, we find in scripture where Satan himself, the devil himself, is using power of signs and miracles to do wonderful things. Or not so wonderful things, but showing the power in a miracle. So we have to understand, this is very important, who do their signs and miracles point to? Just because someone can do a miracle, just because someone can, sounds like kids are having lots of fun, just because someone can do a sign and a miracle, if that sign and miracle isn't geared toward Jesus, then what are they doing? Again, oftentimes, listen, I have been honored to see many amazing things that I just can't explain. But I'm sure every single time I've seen something like that, I have watched the person doing this, and they all stop and say, God is so wonderful. Look what God did. Not look what I did. One of my favorite Smith Wigglesworth. Ted and I have had conversations with him about him. And one of the most amazing things is Smith Wigglesworth is known to have done amazing signs and wonders. It's even said that that Smith Wigglesworth actually saw someone rise from the dead. It's amazing what he is over the course of his life, what he did. And someone asked him, he said, how do you do this? And he stopped them and he said, I don't do anything. It's Jesus that does everything. I'm just here to be a conduit and say the words that he tells me to say. Truth of the matter is that oftentimes signs and miracles, false prophets, false teachers will use those to try to draw a crowd. Be careful of the crowds that are being drawn to those that don't point to Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 through 5 says, "For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears, and they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry." This is Paul speaking to Timothy, and he's giving Timothy these words, and he's saying these things, and I think it's very interesting, a couple of things that has been said here. Number one is, he says, "For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching." What's that sound like we have here today? There are a lot of people in this world today that are not enduring sound teaching because their ears are itching to hear what they want to hear. Their ears are itching to hear them say, "Oh, God would never say that. Don't you know that God is so loving? He loves everybody." Yeah, he does. You're right. But he also understands, and that he doesn't want you to remain the same. Paul goes on to say that they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. You know, one of the biggest struggles as a pastor that I have is when someone comes to me and says, "I'm leaving the church." And I ask them why. "Well, you're not speaking to me." And I calmly take a breath and I said, "Well, I'm sorry." More often that happens than not is that people want to hear something. They want to be assured that what they're doing is okay. Whether their sin is okay, whether their lifestyle is okay, whatever it is, they want to hear that it's okay. And so when you have a pastor that comes to them and says, "You need to deal with something and you need to work on something," and from the pulpit we're preaching this and saying, "You need to change because guess what? You're a sinner and so am I, and so you need to deal with that sin." No one wants to hear that. They'd rather go to somewhere that makes them feel good and it says, "Oh, let's not worry about sin. Let's just worry about being happy all the time because God wants you to be happy and everything's great." Yeah, amen. Paul goes on to say they will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. My brothers and sisters, may I tell you that today there are many people who have wandered off to myths. Many churches today, sadly, are wandering off to myths. They've taken scripture to make it sound like something that would be comfortable for them to be popular, if you will, for the day and age that we're in. They take scripture, they twist it, they turn it to say what they wanted to say, and then that's what they preach. I saw a church service this past week of this lady who stood up before the church and she was reading this verse and she stopped in the middle of the verse and she says, "Well, we're just not going to read that part of the verse because it doesn't say what we believe." That's exactly what I did. Whoop! Thank God for the close button on the computer, right? Because I don't need to hear any more nonsense. But how many times do we find churches, how many times do we find Christians who just say, "God's so loving, why would Jesus be the only way to heaven? Everyone can get to heaven, all you have to be is a good person," right? How many times have you heard that? How many times have you heard scripture say, "God would never say that about someone who lives in this style of lifestyle because he loves everyone"? No, that's not what scripture says. And I'm sorry if you don't agree with what's in Scripture, but Scripture was never meant to be for us to agree with everything. Scripture was meant to convict you of your sins and cause you to turn away and grow closer to Jesus Christ. If you're always reading Scripture and you always find something that makes you feel good and feel happy and feel, you're reading Scripture wrong, I'm sorry to tell you. Scripture should tear you to the very limb because that's what it's meant to be. It's the two-edged sword. It divides even bone and marrow, Scripture says. And so what are we doing? See, we have to understand that sometimes a false prophet or a teacher will be popular and tell you what you want to hear. If every Sunday I get up here and I make you happy and I tell you everything that you need to hear and you're never convicted by any of your sins, then you should probably leave. Because that's not my job. My job as a pastor is to convict you and grow you closer to Jesus Christ. That means I must challenge you on those things as I challenge myself. I have to be challenged myself so that you can also be challenged, and so all of us in this room don't fall into hearing what we want to hear. The truth is that God never promised us that we were going to be rich. God never promised us that we would be all healed. God never promised us that people will always tell you what you want to hear. Is there healings in this world? Yes, absolutely there is. But please tell me why some of my good friends who are wonderful believers in Christ have not been healed yet. I don't know God's circumstances. I don't know God's plan. God has his own plan and his own reasons for doing things. And I just have to trust in him and I have to trust those things. But God never said that we're going to walk the golden path here on this earth. He said we're going to walk that in heaven, not here. God never said that someone's going to throw roses down at our feet and everything's going to be hunky-dory. No. God never said that you're going to have to go into the men's restroom 5 minutes before church starts and start picking up diaper pieces off the bathroom floor. Those that have ears, let them hear. God never said that it's going to be easy. He didn't. We have to understand that, listen, if you're only hearing what you want to hear, you're probably not in the right place. Yes, the message of Jesus is a wonderful message. That's of love, grace, and belief in all of these things, and it brings us closer to him. All of those things are true. But at the end of the day, Scripture is meant to convict you of your sin and to cause you to grow closer to him. That's what it's called to do. The simple fact is that once we know this, we can overcome all of these things, the security of Jesus. Once we know that Jesus is calling us to convict us of our sin, then we can live in this wonderful, beautiful picture of who Jesus Christ is. But it takes us to understand that sometimes we're not going to hear what we want to hear. Sometimes the message is going to be hard to swallow. Sometimes it's going to hurt. Sometimes it's going to cause us to drop to our knees and pray. Sometimes it's going to cause us to go, wow, that was a hard message. And that's a good thing. I want you to understand that these are how to identify. These are four ways that you can identify a false teacher. Why do I give them to you? Now listen, I give them to you because simply for two reasons. Number one is that everyone today is watching or hearing or seeing something. Whether it's on YouTube or social media or on your TV or wherever it is, you're hearing, or people that are in your life, you're hearing things today. This is, when I say false teachers and false prophets, it's not just pastors who are standing up and saying these things. These are people that you work with that are telling you nonsense. These are people that you may live next to. These are people, listen, judge all of those people. It's not, judge me by that, absolutely. Judge every pastor, every teacher by that. But also, judge the people that you're listening to. If you're going to listen to someone and you're going to believe the very words that they're saying, then judge them by these things. Do they produce good fruit? Do they draw people to Jesus and not themselves? Do their miracles, signs, and wonders point to Jesus? Do they tell you what you want to hear, or do they challenge you in what you hear? Those are things, those are four easy things that you should grab a hold of. Because listen, today, the simple truth is that there are many false teachers out there today, and we best be prepared to understand. I'm going to ask the worship team to come, and I'm going to ask you to stand, please. We have entered into a time when false prophets are everywhere, even in the very churches that many people attend. We are seeing people exalted, not because of their life in Christ, but because they are popular or well-spoken. Scripture warns us that in those days, false prophets will be here, and let me tell you, they are here today. This is why it's so vitally important for you to understand Scripture. It's so vitally important for you to grab a hold of what this book says, to open it up, to read it. And listen, if you don't understand something you read, that's okay. That's why we have what's called discipleship. That's why we like to spend time on Sunday morning in a discipleship class. That's why we like to have relationships with people to help and to grow and to see them grow. That's what discipleship is all about. So if you're reading something in Scripture and you're not understanding it, it's okay. But find someone who's not a false teacher. Find someone who answers all of these questions and say, hey, can you help me understand this? Because a good discipleship maker will not lead you to themselves and not give you all the answers. They will give you the tools to understand it yourself. That's what it's about. That's what discipleship is all about. If you can't interpret the signs, that's okay. But I've given you four things that you can do today. And let me add, and we actually gave you more than that, I'll add the fifth. Anytime you open up a video and it begins with the world's going to end on this date, shut that video off. You don't need to hear that. They may get, listen, a blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while, right? Maybe someday someone will say the world's going to end on this date and it actually happens. And when I'm up celebrated in heaven, you can come and sit, tell me that I was wrong, and I'll be okay with that, because guess what? It won't matter, because I'll be in heaven. But the simple fact of it is this. Today, all around us, there's a contest. There's a marketing arm of every person and every company in this world. But there's also, do you understand that there's also a marketing arm to Satan himself? Satan at this very moment in time is a better marketer than any marketer we have on this earth right now. And he's making the final days look so enticing, and to follow him and look so enticing, all of these things. By the way, we're going to talk about this, but the vaccine for COVID was not the mark of the beast, okay? So if you believe that, I'm sorry, that wasn't... I'm not saying it was good. I'm not up here saying it was good, because I'm just telling you, I'm not, I would never say that. But what I'm also telling you, it definitely wasn't the mark of the beast. There are many things that are coming. There are signs that will show exactly when all these things are going to happen, and we're going to talk about this. We're going to lay these all out, but it starts with making sure you know who you are following and who you are listening to. Be wise. Be understanding of the times that we live in. And follow him. Let's pray. Father, we ask you, Lord Jesus, for your protection, your guidance, your strength, that you would open our eyes. Lord, I pray for every single person that's either watching at home or here in this building right here and now, that our eyes would be open to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we would begin to measure everything by the word of God and not by some popularity statement or music that's played or video that's shown. Let us measure by you, Jesus Christ. Jesus, you're the most important thing in all of these times. You have been, you will, you were, you have been, you will be, you are the most important thing in our life. Open our eyes to see, Father. Let us not be led astray to false teachers and prophets and people who proclaim to say this or say that or say this nonsense, no matter where it's at. May we only look towards your scripture and be grounded in that scripture today. Lord Jesus, help us to follow you. Forgive us, Father. If we're here today and somehow we've been led astray, we believe some video, we believe some thing that we watched or heard or said or whatever those things, forgive us for that, Father. And let us weigh everything against Scripture. Let us read Scripture. Let us understand. Let us digest Scripture to understand the truth in all of these things. It starts with a relationship with you, Jesus. And so we ask you, Father, if there's someone here in our midst that has never given their life to you, has never accepted you as their personal Savior, may today be that day. We have a guide. We have a direct line to Jesus who will lead us and guide us through all of these things. And it starts with a relationship in Jesus Christ. And then it starts with the Holy Spirit leading us and guiding us. And so my prayer for you today is not just simply if you want a life with Jesus, and today could be that day. All you have to do is follow what Romans 10:9 says, and that's confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. Repent of our sins. Walk away. Be convicted of those sins. Walk away from those things. Be different and grow closer to Jesus. That's what matters most. But if you're here today and you've already done that, and you just need wisdom, the Holy Spirit promises us wisdom. That's what He brings to us. Wisdom to understand the times and the days that we're living in. And so I pray today that if you have one of those prayer requests, whether it is to give your life to Christ or to seek more wisdom through the Holy Spirit, may you come forward to receive that today. Because Jesus wants to honor you in that way. He doesn't want you to be confused. He doesn't want you to be scared. He wants you to understand the times that we're living in and how to be prepared to live in those times, to fulfill the gospel of Jesus Christ to all of those around us. May we do that today and every single day of our lives. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise, Jesus, because you're such an amazing God, and you deserve that and so much more. May you be our guide, our director, our direction in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's worship together.
At a loss for words, and the fun is so last thing I need is to feed her, but to give her God's pour down my grief, washing my eyes to see your majesty, you still and gold, you're in this place, seems that we save us in your holiness, work us.
This series of messages at points could cause fear. But I want to make sure that you understand that God is in control of all things. And there's nothing to be afraid of. because he is at the throne of all that's going to happen. There's only one thing, there's simply one thing that we have to be afraid of. That's the fear of the Lord. That's it. Nothing else. If we're in the right place, in a relationship with Jesus, then all and everything else that happens will be beautiful. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy. Doesn't mean that it's going to be, there's not going to be persecution and other things that come this way. But what it means is that we'll be secured in the Word of God and with Him. And that's the only thing that matters. This past, was it Wednesday? I think it was Wednesday. This past Wednesday, Tuesday. 3 o'clock in the morning, I was woken up. I didn't know why. And God said, you need to pray. I said, okay. So I went to my living room and I prayed and I started singing Amazing Grace. That's the only song I could get in my head is Amazing Grace. And I'm like, God, why am I praying? Why am I up at 3 o'clock in the morning? Yeah. And I just sat there and prayed. And I just literally, God said, everything's going to be okay. So he said to me. So I go back to bed. Like, I'm tired. I'm going back to bed. I went back to bed and 7 o'clock, 7:30, I think it was, I get a call from my cousin here. And I didn't answer it because I was doing something that you do in the morning time when you get out of bed. I'll just put it that way.
Brushing your teeth.
Yes, there you go. A few minutes later, I got a text from my other cousin. He said, my sister was hit by a truck or by a car. She passed away. Our cousin passed away unexpectedly by a drunk driver on Wednesday as she was working. And I just said, God, now I understand what's going on. And now I understand how everything's going to be okay. God is in control. See, God loves us so much so that he wants to prepare us for the things that are to come. But he wants us to be smart. Not be afraid, not be fearful, not be afraid of all of the things that are going to happen, but be prepared, but understand that we can be founded in his love, because he's going to take care of us. He's going to take care of every single one of you. All you have to do is take care of your relationship in him. Continue to grow closer to him, and he will continue to grab a hold of you and draw you closer to him. Be prepared, not scared. Be smart, not dumb. Judge every person that you hear that begins to tell you something. Judge them. Judge me. Judge him. Judge anyone that you listen to. And don't fall to a false prophet. Don't be led astray by people who don't speak the truth, who don't have fruit that grows out of their lives. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for all that you've done. Lord, I just raise up to you a hallelujah and say, Father, lead us and guide us and strengthen us to our relationship in you. Let us be secured in one thing and one thing only in this world, and that is in you, Father. Lord, I also lift up to you the family, my family of Michelle. Just ask you that you bless them, be with them, comfort them this week, Father. Thank you for her life. Be with her today. We thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing. Lead us and guide us in this place as we go out to do your will, Father, in the world around us. We love you, Lord. We glorify you. We honor you. We praise you now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful week. Hope to see you again next week.